Okay, y'all, we will begin with our hymn for the evening. Our hymn this evening, I've chosen 155. Must Jesus bear the cross alone? Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. The consecrated cross I'll bear till death shall set me free, and then go home my crown to wear, for there's a cross for me. Up on the crystal pavement down at Jesus' pierced feet, joyful I'll cast my golden crown and his dear name repeat. O precious cross, O glorious crown, O resurrection day, ye angels from the stars come down and bear my cross, my soul away. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. Amen. At this time, you all, we will have our Apostle Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Church universal, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Let us pray. Father, again, we come before you with great gratitude and thanksgiving. We thank you, Lord, for once again another opportunity to study your holy word. Father, we thank you for bringing us safely into this new year. And Lord, we look back over last year and we remember those moments and opportunities that you've allowed us to spend with you as we focused and concentrated on your divine word. And we ask, Lord, that you provide those same opportunities this year, that they will provide the spiritual nourishment that we need to continue to travel this road in life. Again, Lord, we're grateful for each person that has come out this evening. We pray that this lesson will be a blessing and an inspiration to our souls. This is our prayer we pray in your beloved Son, Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our trespasses. We ask that they will forgive us for our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. At this time, we will have our responsive reading. Of course, we will omit any roll calling or officer calling names of that concept, and we'll move right into our responsive reading. Our responsive reading, of course, the date is January the 8th, 2023, and we are on lesson number 6. And lesson number 6, of course, is on page 37. And, of course, the title of our lesson for the evening is God Promises Restoration and Protection. Our lesson scripture is Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 23. Our focus scripture is Isaiah 43, 1 through 4, 10 through 12. Our key verse, but now thus saith the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Isaiah 43:1, New Revised Standard Version. Now our responsive reading. Isaiah 43:1-1, and then 10-12. And it reads, "But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Saba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life." Verses 10-12. "You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I declare and save and proclaim. When there was no strange God among you, and you are my witnesses, says the Lord." Now at this time we will read our summary of the Decalogue. Hear what Christ our Savior said. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen." Okay, you all, at this time we will review our introduction of our Sunday school lesson coupled with our Bible story. From there we'll move into our lesson. The introduction reads as follows. Isaiah, a prophet of royal descent, offers a hopeful message. Judah, the southern kingdom, taken to Babylon exile, was not forgotten. God, who created the heavens and the earth and made Israel a great nation, would restore Israel. God promised Israel a reversal of fortunes. In turn, Israel was given a task. In a world full of idols, Israel was to tell people there was and is and will always be only one God, the God of creation who preexisted anything else that was made. Telling the Bible story. Israel had not always been a nation. Its beginning were with one childless man and woman, Abram and Sarah. But God's miraculous intervention changed world history. With Isaac's birth, God began forming and creating a new nation. God's forming the nation, Israel, implies the work of a potter who shapes vessels. God brought together Jacob and four women to create Israel, one nation incorporating 12 tribes. After 400 years in Egyptian exile, 40 people emerged not as a tribe, but as a nation. Now Israel occupies a foreign land, Babylon. However, this was not Canaan, the promised land. Restoration required a redemption. So God became the Goel, kinsman redeemer. a kinsman redeemer had two tasks: to ensure the dead person's lineage continued in economic restoration. Isaiah tells estranged Israel, God would fight their battles and give them back their land. Israel would not disappear, but would be reestablished. It may seem harsh for God to exchange one nation's existence for another. In context, this exchange reflects historical realities. According to a rabbinic source, specific references to Egypt, Cush, and Seba may be attributed to these countries being at war with Persia. This war would be a distraction. While these countries fought one another, Israel would safely return to their promised land unnoticed by the warring nations. Water and fire, natural elements, symbolize the dangerous journey Israel would undertake as they walk back home. Because of God, Israel would be safe from both human enemies and natural elements. Surrounded by Babylon's gods, including the supreme deity Marduk, the god of the underworld, Nergal, goddess of the sea, Huto, the idols from other nations, Israel was reminded about the god they worshiped. Ancient nations believed there were many gods whose limited authority would extend over only geographical regions or certain elements or countries. These gods were appeased through ritual and sacrifices. Israel's God found adultery and its associated practice abhorrent. Isaiah reminds Israel that God created their nation to be different. Their history from Egypt to their current situation was filled with amazing and awesome displays of God's power and might. If no other nation understood who God is, Israel should. They basically had seen 10 plagues, a sea and river parted, manna from heaven, water from a rock, God speaking at Mount Sinai, Jericho walls fall, and much more. Given this backdrop, an unshakable covenant foundation, God expected Israel to tell others that there is only one God and that God existed eternally. Their first-hand knowledge and experience gave their testimonial credibility. No other nation could tell a story like Israel's. Isaiah tells Israel to keep sharing their eyewitness account. Now, again, you all, the title of our lesson for the evening is God Promises Restoration and Protection. Now, you all, when I initially observed the title of our lesson for tonight, I mean, all I could say was what a timely lesson this is. As we enter a new year, as we turn another corner, as we open a new chapter in this journey called life, what comfort, what confidence, what tranquility these words should bring to the hearts and the souls of those who are diligently pursuing after God, to those you all who are diligently trying to grow closer to Him. But y'all, before we move on, let's hear these words of the Lord once again. Verses 1 through 4, 43rd chapter of Isaiah. Y'all, it says, but now thus saith the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, He who elected you, O church-age saint, ambassador of Christ, royal priest of God, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. You know, I can hardly really think of more beautiful words in all of the Old Testament from God to his people. To say you all of them, and then you know, just to think about these realities in our own lives right now through Christ. You know, these are realities. These are truths. And we all know you all that God has spoken to us, to all who have trusted in Christ. As a member of the royal family, a body of Christ, the people of God. And we know that God's people, you all, will face trials. But we have you all the promises of God's presence, his salvation, restoration, and protection. So I just want for us, you all, to take just a moment and just allow these words to fill our hearts. To hear God saying to us, personally, fear not. I have redeemed you. I have saved you from your sin. I have made you my son. I have made you my daughter. You are my child. I have called you by name. I mean, think about that, you all, for a second. Let it soak in. You all, the God of the universe has called your name. He says, you are mine. You belong to me. What an awesome and amazing thought this is. I mean, when I think about it, you're in my life today. I mean, I belong to God. You belong to God. And then you all, he starts giving us these promises based on who we are. And he promises when he says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned. Now let that sink in. That should take away all anxiety about the new year or any issue we may be facing. But what God is saying to us in this lesson right here, this point, well, first of all, let me say this. What God is not saying, your God is not saying as his people, as his sons, as his daughters, as his children. He's not saying, you all, that things are going to be easy for us in this world. He's talking about you all passing through waters and through rivers. He says, when you walk through fire, not if you walk through fire. In other words, you all, you're going to pass through rivers. Things are not always going to go well for us. And so this is, of course, by no means a promise that great things are consistently going to be. But in the Old Testament, we don't have it anywhere in the scripture that when we trust in God, we won't experience trials in this world. We will experience trials. But the beauty is, you all, God who redeemed us, the God who called our name, the God you all whom we belong to, he said he will be with us. He said, I'll be right there, and he will bring us through. I mean, I can only imagine that so many people who are studying this very lesson this very day all over this country, I can imagine them walking through some sort of trials right now in their lives. If they're not, or even if we're not walking through a trial right now, you know, that same trial is more than likely right around the corner. And whether we're walking through a fire right now, or the fire is coming around the corner, let us know this. The God of the universe is with us. We are his children. We belong to him, and he will provide for us. He will bring us through. Those flames, you all, they will not consume us, because he is the Lord our God, and he is our Savior. The water and the fire, they represent afflictions, trials, and difficulties we face. And all we can do is thank God that he is with us. He's in our most troubling times. I mean, we live, you all, in a world where people have free will, and they can cause us some great pain at times. We live in a world, you all, where things happen, and we don't know why. But God is constantly working things out for his will, for our own good work. And as he just said, we are his precious ones. You know, when we think about, we are talking here about a God. A God, you all, a God who's like no other God. A God, you all, who has infinite power through his omnipotence. A God who is omniscient. You're our God. He knows everything. And he even knows the outcome of the situation that we may face. And he's everywhere. He's omniscient, omnipresent. He's absolute love, absolute righteousness. And he's just. He's veracity, absolute truth. He's eternal. There's never been a time, you all, that our God did not exist. And there will never be a time that our God does not exist. But the most important of all of the above is that he's our Father. And as he states, you all, at the beginning of verse number 4, he says, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. And that's the beauty of our relation with God. Your God loves us dearly. However, there's a dilemma. And this dilemma, it oftentimes hinders the believer's confidence in God. And it oftentimes produces self-induced misery. And it's not because of any inconsistency of God. But the inconsistency is more often than not found in us. You see, in our previous chapter, chapter 42, the Jews had become spiritually blind and rebellious. Therefore, Isaiah said that God was punishing them and point out his anger. And of course, as Isaiah 43rd chapter begins, God wants to encourage those very people, you all, that they are under divine discipline. But he also reminds them that, you all, he created them and as a people and as a nation. Therefore, they should not fear his discipline, for he has redeemed or ransomed them. He knows their names. He claims them as his own. And when believers, you all, come under divine discipline, this verse can encourage them. And in verse number 3, you all, it reads, it says, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Although individual Jews, you all, might be cast into prison, and many of them may even be killed in war, and certainly there are some, you all, who may be sentenced unto the sin unto death, but if they, you all, and we as a people trust God, they would be saved from eternal death and punishment. And the Lord would also save Israel as a nation. We remember he brought them, you all, from exile in Babylon, as he promised. And he upheld them, you all, with his holiness, his righteousness, and justice through their punishment, which eventually led to their restoration as a nation. And God restored the nation of Israel again. And this wasn't very long ago, back in 1948. I'm certain some of you all were very much aware of the political arena around us, but in which you all, these Israelites, you all, they call a war that they were in the War of Independence. And some of us may recall that. And this is where the Lord returned to them almost 60% of the territory proposed for the Arab state, including many of these additional and other surrounding territories along the Jordan Road. And he only gave as a ransom those nations that he had to curse and punish for their sins. And after, of course, the Messiah, Jesus, was born and ministered, many from Egypt, Ethiopia, and Seba came to the saving faith in God. Your God loves his people. He loves them from every nation and race, and not the Israelites only, but all who trust in him, and of course the Messiah that God promised to send. Believers are precious in the sight of God, and he honors us when he calls us, your his people, the nation in the promised land that rejected God and turned to idols and their detestable practices. God destroyed, and then, of course, he replaced them with the Israelites when he led them into the land of promise. And he did that by way of his son Joshua. But we must understand also, you all, although God protects us and God restores us and God directs us and he loves us, we must understand, you all, that God has expectations for his diligence. And, of course, that's found in our next set of verses, verses 10 through 12. And they say these words. They say, "You are my witness, says the Lord, and my servant I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I declared and saved and proclaimed when there was no strange God among you, and you are my witness, says the Lord." These are powerful words. "You are my witness, says the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, so that you may know me and believe me and understand that I am he. And before me, no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there was no Savior. I declared and I saved and proclaimed when there was no strange God among you, and you are my witness, says the Lord." You all, the question is this: how are we witnesses? On what basis do we do so? Well, God has that answer. He says, "Because I have chosen you, that you may know me." You didn't find me out. I found you out. I chose you to know me, and that you may understand me, that I am he, that I am the only true and living and sovereign God. You have not grown in the knowledge of God on your own. I chose you to understand me. I grant understanding. And I chose you that you might trust me. You didn't create your own faith. I gave it to you and worked it in you, lest anyone should boast. I have chosen that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am. You all, when I think, you all, of this country of ours, these United States of America, you all, this is a beautiful country we have. And in the framework of the protocol plan of God, you know, we are a client nation, a nation that was built on its foundation in God we trust. And God lays absolute claim on the entire country and every person and industry and business that's in it. You know, they are all his. But who knows this? Very few. How shall they know? Well, God said, you are my witnesses. I declare and say and proclaim, and you are my witness, declares the Lord, and I am God. The world will know that I am God if you tell them and show them. That is why you are there, Bethlehem. My supremacy is over all things in your conviction and your passion. You are my witnesses, Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, California, Florida, Texas, Georgia. Should we name all the states in the state? We are my witnesses. You are my witnesses until I come, says the Lord. And in verse 11 it says, I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. Now, those were not wasted times. True things mattered more crystal clear vision for why we existed. And now it is clearer than ever. We know like we've never known anything before. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed to be there for all things, and through whom also He created the world and everything in it. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. We are His witnesses. We exist to testify to, I am that I am, the God of Israel, who has come in the flesh as Jesus Christ and died for sinners and risen triumphant over death and now lays absolute claim on every person, every molecule in these United States. Every knee shall bow, and in advance of that day, there is hope. Everyone, every breathing living soul who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved, and we are His witnesses to make Him known, to magnify Him. We are chosen for Him to know and to understand Him, to trust Him, and to be His witnesses. God will put this in the hearts of the faithful few, to trust deeply, to pray earnestly, and to witness boldly. So yes, you all, God promises restoration and protection. But when the floods come, the hardships prevail. Waves crash upon the undertow, dragging us out into the darkness of the sea. Certainly this image is frightening, but it's real. The question is, will we sink or will we swim? Will we drown or will we float? But the real question is, when the difficulties come, the plans we had don't formulate to reality. The disappointment closes in. Will we give up and remain the same, or will we grow up in our faith? Truly, you all, this is the question. You see, too many you all claim Christ by name, but nothing else. There are too many who want Jesus for all His security. But when the hardships of obedience, the steadiness of walking with Him, the willingness to lay our own wants and lives down at His request, we simply become weak-kneed. We want Jesus in our hardship. We long for Him in our turmoil. But serving Him, obeying Him, well, actually, y'all, that's completely a different story. But He encourages us when he tells us, he tells us, you're not to give up, not to worry. In other words, y'all, he wants us to remember, don't quit. And as we begin this lesson, I thought on that as we were closing the session. I say, well, I know I had to have shared this form before, but the Spirit said, go ahead and throw it in there anyway. This is an inspirational, a poem for an inspirational lesson for an inspirational time in our lives, a new year, one that we're going to need all of God's protection and love. There may be times that things overwhelm us and we don't want to move any further. I don't think we can. Remember the words of Adar Quest, who's the writer of this poem, and is entitled, Don't Quit. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you are threading seems all uphill, when funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us must sometime learn. And many of failure turn about when they might have won if they'd stuck it out. Don't give up though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than the faint and faltering man. After the straggler has given up, when he might have captured the victor's cup, and he learned too late when the night slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worse that you mustn't quit. For all sad words of tongue and pen, the saddest of these, it might have been. So what we find Isaiah sharing with us in our lesson today, you all, is that within this beautiful chapter of Isaiah 43, there are tremendous promises, lovely to read, wonderful to quote, statements that speak toward God being with us in the flood, in the fire, in our turmoil, his mercy and unrelenting love extended once again. Despite our offenses, he speaks to us, choosing to move on from the past, forgetting the things behind, as Paul would say. The richness is to not dwell in the past, but to discover the new thing that he is doing, tucked between all those promises and hopes given. God makes one statement, you all, one statement that brings the reality into check, one statement, you all, that is imperative that we remember, and that is, we are his witnesses. So I say, let us, you all, be about our Father's business. And let us once again witness as he brings restoration and protection. That concludes our lesson for this evening. At this time, I will read for us our closing prayer. And our closing prayer, as I quickly try to get there, is found on verse page number 42. And it says, Dear Lord, thank you for the many things you have done to show me you are God and God alone. I thank you for opportunities to be your witness. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, at this time, we will read our Sunday School Creed. Our Sunday School Creed reads as follows. I believe in my AME church school that it must grow and grow, and that I must make it a top priority to make it so. Every member a Christian, every Christian a worker, every worker trained so that a worker need not be ashamed. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. That concludes our lesson, you all, for this evening. Again, we are grateful and thankful that you all came out to be a part of our Sunday school lesson. Of course, if there's anyone, I will always acknowledge this opportunity, just never know. Anyone that has anything that they desire or need to share at this time, the floor is open. Anyone? Okay, very excellent. You all, again, we are so grateful for your presence. We ask that we all continue to pray for each other. It's a new year, and certainly prayer is a necessity for survival and for the blessings that God has in store. With that being said, thank you again. God bless you. Good night.